Good morning. Feels like a while since I've had the headset on to preach. So I've had a while to think about and wonder about what to share. As we've been going through our Christian life classes, this topic came up. As we got ready for our youth service project trip down in Texas, this topic came up. As we think about church elections and the different committee positions that people are going to be serving in, it comes up. As we think about Mother's Day, this fits. Today we're going to look at the topic of serving. Obviously, not badminton or volleyball serving. You wouldn't get much use out of my thoughts on that. Wouldn't be very helpful. We're going to talk about serving other people and serving God. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, we found a couple of verses that can really, I think they can really encourage us. They can give us a purpose. They can give us a greater purpose and meaning in our everyday work. It can help us experience God and His strength. And honestly, I think it can free us from fear. It can free us from the need to compare with the person next to us. So we'll do something a little different. I'll ask each of you to stand with us. And let's read these verses from God's Word together. Let's stand and read together. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Thank you. You can have a seat. Each of you. That's how Peter starts this short little section here. Each of you. Who is he writing to? Who's Peter writing to in this letter? He writes to men and to women. He writes to husbands and to wives in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 7. He also writes to church leaders, to the elders in chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. He writes to all the people of God. He calls each of us a priesthood of believers. All of us together are the church. He opens the letter in chapter 1, verse 1, by addressing it to God's elect, the ones that God has chosen. So in 1, verse 3, I'm not going to read through the verses, but we're going to talk about the themes. 1, verse 3 shows us that if you have trusted Jesus with your life, if you have found new life, if you have been born again in Jesus, then this letter is for you. Then this message is for you. If you've personally experienced mercy and forgiveness from God, then this letter is for you. In 1 verses 18 and 19, if you have been bought out of the empty way of life that this world offers to us, if you've been bought out of that by the blood of Jesus, then this letter is for you. In 2 verse 24, if Jesus has healed you from the trap of sin, from the trap of hopelessness and death, then this message is for you. This message is for all who believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to remember as we start with today's message or today's passage. But in your heart, if you know that you haven't trusted in Jesus, if you don't call him Lord, if you haven't experienced the good news of real life, of new life because of Jesus, then a question is, what is holding you back? What is keeping you from trusting Jesus with your life? Talk to God about it. Talk to him about it. Pray about it. Talk to someone here about it. Don't let that slip by. Each of you, Peter says, each of us, every Christian. Sometimes we get good at making excuses, right? We like to make excuses for things we can't do or don't really want to do. What are some of your common excuses? Some of my common excuses. Well, I can't. Sorry, I'm a little busy. Or, sorry, I forgot. I can't bring my homework in. My mom still has it. She's going to finish it soon, though. Right? I don't know what. We could probably get a ton of good excuses that you've heard. Sometimes we feel like we're short on resources. You know, maybe I'm short on time. Maybe I'm short on money. Maybe it's about our age. I don't feel like I'm old enough. Once I'm done school, then I can really get involved. Once I'm an adult. Or maybe once the kids are older, then I can serve. Or maybe once I'm retired, then I'm actually going to have more time. Then I'll get involved. Interestingly, at at Buttertown with MDS there on Thursday, Peter Gertzen shared a thought about those who say they're going to start serving once they retire. You can ask him about his thoughts on that. I think you'll find out we need to start sooner. We have all kinds of reasons for not doing things that we should sometimes, but we're not given any excuse here. Each of you, Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Basically, use what you have. Use what you have right now. If you stop and think about it for yourself personally, what do you have right now that you can serve with? In verse 11, Peter talks about spiritual gifts. He talks about speaking and serving. He puts it into two categories. Romans chapter 12, that was read before. There we see a bit of a bigger list of different spiritual gifts. There's prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, generosity, leadership, mercy. And there's other verses in 1 Corinthians 12 that add to that list and make it a pretty big list. I don't think God was trying to give us the exhaustive, complete list of the gifts he gives us. There are so many gifts that he gives us. But Romans 12, verse 6 kind of states the obvious and something that I'm prone to missing. It says, we have different gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. I don't need the gifts that you have. You don't need the gifts that I have. Rather, I think we need each other. The gifts that I have were given to me by God, and he gave them to me for a reason. He gave you your gifts for a reason. So I remember back when I first went to Bible college, that was a couple years ago already, and sometimes the youth would like to remind me of how many years ago that was. Well, most of them were born by the time I went to Bible school, but I remember being frustrated when I first got there. I mean, because I couldn't outdo people in certain things. I grew up being fairly decent at music, and I could play sports. I was fairly good at my schoolwork. I could even make people laugh once in a while just doing a one-line impression of Kermit the Frog, whatever, like just random little things. But suddenly, I was surrounded by people that had all kinds of different gifts that I thought were actually better than mine. There was thinkers, people that were thinking of things and knew about things that I had no clue about. There was people that were, you know, artists. They were musicians. They were incredible at what they were doing. There was a guy who could drum and sing harmony at the same time. No way could I do that. There were great actors, public speakers, people that could just get a whole crowd laughing right away. They were the center of attention. Athletes. There was a guy who could do an incredible Jack Sparrow impression that totally trumps Kermit the Frog, right? And so I was frustrated. I didn't have what some of these people had. And sometimes I'm a little bit slow, but eventually I had to learn and come to grips with the fact that God gave me my gifts, my abilities, my personality, my background, my story for a reason. He didn't give me Bryce's or Kevin's or Matthew or Brad's. He gave me my story, and that's okay. That's good. We have different gifts. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve. So what do you have? Think about the spiritual gifts that we heard about before. Which ones resonate with you? Teaching, encouraging, serving, generosity, mercy. What kinds of special abilities has God given you? You can use those to serve God. Use those to serve others. Think about your personality and your passions. Do you love big crowds, lots of noise, lots of people, or do you like small groups of people? You can use that to serve someone. Do you love planning? Do you love working on details and making sure everything's figured out? Or do you love being spontaneous? You can use that. Do you love the arts and being expressive and creative? Or do you simply love fixing something that's broken? You're good with your hands that way. Do you love the outdoors? Or do you love being an activist for some kind of great cause, a big cause? Do you love sports? God has given you the passions and the personality and abilities that you have, and we can use these everyday things to serve someone, to help someone, and to serve God. And there's all kinds of opportunities to serve. Verna Bandman at the office here, she helped me count up the other day about how many different volunteer spots we have in our church within the span of a year. And we both know that we're missing some, and we know that people serve in ways that aren't in a program list. But we came up with at least 370 volunteer spots. 370 volunteer opportunities in our church every year, plus more that happen behind the scenes. You know, think of Sunday school, music, committees where we have nominations here, VBS, youth, small group leaders. There's not one kind of person we need for this. I can't fill each of these spots. My personality isn't right for each of these spots. We need every part of the body to be active, to be serving. And it could be as simple as going 30 minutes down the road to help in Buttertown. Just a little bit of time and offering your hands and helping. Anybody can clean up garbage. Anybody can cut drywall and haul it away and bless a neighbor. It was super encouraging to see so many youth and families, people going out this week to serve there. Whatever your gift, whatever you have, it can be used to serve God. And you can also use the chapter of your life to serve God. Think about what chapter of life you're in right now. Are you a student? Are you in school? Are you in college? Are you working? You're in the workforce right now. Are you retired? Whatever chapter of life you're in, you're connecting with a unique group of people. You're connecting with people every day that will probably not come to our church service to hear the gospel, but they can see it if they're watching you. You're connecting with a unique group of people that you can serve. Today we're celebrating Mother's Day. And that's a unique chapter in life where mothers can serve the Lord. Think about it. What kind of opportunities as a mom do you have now that you didn't have before? You have an incredible chance to train up your child in the way they should go. You have a chance to impress the word of God onto their hearts, to talk about it when you're getting up in the morning, to talk about it on the road, throughout the day at home. You have a chance, and I'm not going to say I know how to do this, but you have a chance to turn a 3 a.m. feeding and diaper change into an offering of worship to God, a chance to disciple your children day after day and to pray for them, even if it seems like they're not getting it. God has given you this chapter in life, and you can use it to serve him. Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. Let's turn there in our Bibles. Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. Some pretty incredible encouragement, and man, it would change our lives if we put this into practice. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. As you are training your kids, as you're changing diapers, as you're working for your boss, as you're handing in your homework, it can be the Lord Christ that we are serving. Parenting is an amazing chapter where we get to do this, where we can learn to put this into practice. And I think in a special way, God uses parenting to reflect the image of Christ in us, to reflect his character in us. If we think about the character of Jesus, he's someone who sacrificed incredibly. He humbled himself and he gave his life for us. How many times a day does a mother do this for their kids, for their family? If we think of sacrificing sleep so the baby can eat during the night, if we think of sacrificing time with friends or family because, well, it's time for the kids to go home, they need to get some rest, or the kids need a ride to basketball practice or to this event, so I'll say no to this now because I need to bring them. Maybe passing up on that new outfit because somebody else grew 4 inches in the spring and they can't go to school with belly shirts and capris. Right? So, mom sacrifices all the time. Jesus sacrificed his life for us. And when we sacrifice for each other, we give our children, we give the world a picture of the grace and the mercy of Jesus. When we serve someone, whether it's our family, whether it's our boss, our teacher, our coach, a friend, or an enemy, or a customer, we can serve them for the Lord. So what's your chapter in life right now? What are your abilities, your gifts? What are your passions? You can use these everyday things to serve others and to serve God. Peter gives us an interesting picture in the next part. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you received to serve others as faithful stewards. We don't use that word a whole lot, right? Stewards? What is a steward? I think this guy can give us a little bit of a picture. Does anyone know who this is? The Christian Life class will probably know. Anyone else know who this is? Recognize him? Joe recognizes. What is this guy's job? What does he do? Yes, polishes the Stanley Cup. Phil Pritchard. It's a long time since I've seen the Stanley Cup and the Edmonton Oilers jersey together. Right? Philip Pritchard, that's his job. For 26 years, he's been taking care of this thing. He travels all over the world with it. 300 days a year, this thing is on the road. They've had christenings with the Stanley Cup. There's been people eating cereal out of the Stanley Cup, pool parties. It's been mountain climbing all over the world. And wherever it goes, even if he's not in the picture, he's nearby. He's taking care of this thing. Would he ever say that it's his? Never. That would be that'd be arrogant, right? He's with it all the time. He takes care of it, but he knows it's not his. That's stewardship. Taking care of something for someone else. Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, Jesus gives us a picture of stewardship as well. It's the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. And I'm not going to read through the whole thing verse to verse, but we're going to talk about the story. And so you can read it there. It's a story about stewardship, taking care of something for someone else. So a man goes on a journey. He's a wealthy man. He has servants. He calls his servants to him, and he entrusts some of his property to them. Each of the three servants, they get different amounts of money, different amounts of property, and they know what their job is. They know their job is to put it to work. So the first two servants do that. They put the money to work, 5 talents, 2 talents. They put it to work, and they quickly get a good return on their investment. But the third servant, he reveals a bit about his bad attitude towards the master. He doesn't put it to work. What he does is he goes and digs a hole, he puts it in there, and he does not touch it. Don't want to touch it. Don't want to mess up. Don't want to make my boss angry. Whatever. He says, I knew that you were a hard man, so I was afraid, and I hid your money in the field. I didn't touch it. Master comes back, and he calls his servants to him. So, how did it go? What are the results? The first two servants, they come to him, and they tell him, they show him what they have done. They have doubled his property, his investment. And he says, well done. You have been faithful, so I'll give you even more to take care of. Come and enjoy life together with me. Come and share in your master's happiness. But the third servant doesn't have such good news, right? The third servant said, I knew you were a hard man and I was afraid, so I didn't touch it. I didn't touch what you gave to me. Mark Buchanan, he's an author, he comments on this in his book called Your Church is Too Safe. He writes that we're used to the idea that certain people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wicked people, impure people, deceitful, these people don't get to be part of God's kingdom. We're used to that. But we're not used to the idea of what Jesus tells us here. The kind of person that Jesus adds to the list of people that don't inherit the kingdom of God, and that is the cautious. This man was so cautious, he didn't invest what his master gave him. Good and faithful servants, they're the ones that shoot for the moon. They run with scissors. They leap before looking. The bad servant, the wicked, the lazy servant is the one who is cautious with what his master gave him. You and I, we are all stewards. Everything we have has been given to us from God. And he's given it to us because he wants to bless us, but he also wants us to use it to make his family, to make his kingdom even greater. So my possessions, my time, my family, my work, my relationships. God isn't interested in me just keeping these in nice shape, keeping them nice and shiny and safe. God wants me to use these for heavenly purposes. He wants you to use your gifts for heavenly purposes. Your everyday abilities, your opportunities were given to you by God. And use what you have. So how do we do this? How are we supposed to use what God has given to us? I think Peter gives us some further instructions in verse 11. He says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So like we mentioned before, Peter breaks down spiritual gifts into two big categories, speaking and serving. With your words and with your hands. I kind of like that. With what we say, we can be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. With what we do, we can be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And the truth is that we need to count on his strength. That list of 370 jobs in our church, there's a whole lot of those where we need teachers, right? We need teachers, people who will speak, use their words, use their mouth to encourage and build other people up. But there's a whole lot of spots where we need hands. We just need people to lend a hand, right? To stack chairs, to clean, to take care of the grounds, to make food for families who are in need. And some of these things are going to stretch us. If we say yes to God, he will stretch us. Jesus never told us life was meant to be simple and easy. He wants to stretch us. And that's when we realize that we need his strength. If we think of the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 4, God meets Moses in the burning bush in the desert. And he's telling Moses what he wants him to do. He's already revealed himself to Moses in some pretty incredible ways. I've never seen a burning bush like that. I've never put my hand into a cloak and had it come out leprous with leprosy, put it back and it's clean. Throw my staff down and it turns into a snake. Moses had seen these things, but he was still trying to make excuses, still trying to bargain with God. God, I don't want to do this. And God says, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. God's not going to leave us hanging. God wasn't going to leave Moses hanging. And when he leads you to do something, he's not going to leave you hanging. He is strong enough. We have another example in the man who took over for Moses, about to lead millions of Israelites into the promised land. That's hardly a big job or anything. But God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1 verse 9. There's times when we use our words and our hands where we are going to be stretched, and we need to count on the strength that God provides. Do you want to experience God in a new way, in a fresh way? Use what you have to serve. Is God calling you to step out and do something that's scary? He's looking for us to trust him. Like Moses and Joshua, he wants us to trust him and not make excuses, because we know that he is strong enough. But what if it's not about the big things? What if it's not the big scary things right now in your life? But maybe it's just the small everyday things, like changing diapers every day or going to school every day. How can I use that to serve God? How can that be anything that builds up or impacts people? I find for myself personally, the biggest obstacle isn't what I have or what I'm doing. The biggest obstacle is my perspective. I'm easily distracted. You can ask Michelle, the people in the office. This week I was sitting in the coffee area because I didn't want to be at my desk. I'm distracted by all the things on my desk and I'm just scattered right away. I'm very distracted in my life often. I forget that God is with me. I forget how much he has done for me. I forget that finishing the task isn't the goal. I forget that serving him is the goal. And so very often, if we want to serve God with everyday stuff, I just need to change my perspective. I need to start inviting Jesus to come in, to invite him into my everyday work, into my tasks, even the things I don't enjoy, to invite him into those things. What if I talk to him while I'm driving or while I'm doing dishes? What if I speak out a prayer when I run into a snag at work? What if I look for examples of his goodness in the people around me? If I just look for something to be thankful for today? It kind of comes down to just shifting my thinking and choosing to do what we read about in Colossians 3, choosing to work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for people. So Jesus can come and he can transform any of these simple tasks into an offering of worship if we do it with our hearts, if we do it for him. So Peter's telling us to use your hands, use your words this week to serve with God's strength. He's not asking you to use what your neighbor has. He's asking you to use what he's given to you. But why should we do this? I guess final question here. Why should we do this? He says in verse 11, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So that God may be praised through Jesus Christ. We should be serving not just to get our picture on the wall. I shouldn't be serving to get a pat on the back or to get recognized. But serving can be our way of saying thank you to God. Thank you for what you've done for me. It's our way of recognizing that he is greater and that it is really all about him. Romans 12:1 on the screen there says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. He says, give your lives to God in view of his mercy, because of his mercy. That's how Peter started off his whole letter here. He started talking about God's mercy, his mercy and forgiveness, that he has bought us out of this empty way of life, that he gave his life on the tree so that we could be healed, that by his wounds we have been healed. And so we love because God first loved us. We act, the act of helping other people, helping his children, pleases him and it causes other people to praise him. So that's one reason why we should serve, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. But we can also back up a little bit in 1 Peter in chapter 4 there, and we get an extra reason why we should be doing this. In verse 7, the part that kind of opens up our section here, it says, the end of all things is near. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. Love each other. Offer hospitality. Use what you have been given. Because the end of all things is near. We don't know when our last day is. We don't know when Jesus is coming back again. But we know that he is coming back. He is coming back and the end is coming. So in light of that, in light of eternity, use what God has given you. Use what he's given you so that God may be praised through Jesus Christ. I think we should also be motivated to serve because it does actually benefit us. God is going to grow you when you serve. If I think of some of the harder or more stressful, difficult things that I've done in my life, those have been times when God comes through and says, you can trust me. I come through on the other side and I have stronger relationships with people. I've seen God answer prayers and I know he is trustworthy. If I would never have stepped out and done it, I would never experience God in that way. So God blesses us when we serve. But ultimately, it keeps coming back to God's kingdom, finding a heavenly purpose, God's kingdom purpose for our everyday tasks, where our work points other people to God and not to ourselves. Whatever you do, we can work at it with your whole heart, working as for the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus we are serving. So where are you at today, personally? Is there something that God has been asking you to do, something that's scary, where you need to say, yes, God, I'll trust you. I need to do it in your strength. Or is there something small, something very normal, menial, that you've just been getting frustrated and tired with? Where do you need to invite Jesus in to transform your daily work into an offering? We can do this, and we can experience God in this way, and our community, our church, won't be the same if we serve Christ like this, and God will be praised. I'm going to ask Cheryl to play a little video. I think it captures this whole idea really well. There's a lot of different scenes in the video, so if you get dizzy or anything from all the different scenes, just close your eyes and enjoy the music. It's a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, so we'll close with that.